Who would you like to open?
Can I have Alma?
Alma.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we thank you for Ed, for his dedication and preparation for this morning, Lord. We pray that his word, your word, Lord, would sink into our hearts, Lord, and we can meditate it on it today, Lord. We just thank you for all things. We thank you for worship we're preparing for, Lord, and just thank you for our church family, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'll take that one.
All right. So we titled our message here, "Are We There Yet?" If anybody remembers being in the back of the car, going on a trip, and you would always say to your parents, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" "No, we're going to be there in about an hour." 5 minutes later, are we there yet? Right? So it was, you know, basically it's about having a promise, God's promise, and maybe you're waiting on something and you're constantly, when's it going to happen? So to me, there's nothing better than using an example that I can relate to.
Hey, it's me. I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I'm just waiting. It's been 20 minutes. You're late, so I'm just going to hang out here where we said we'd meet. All right, bye. Hey, it's me. Yeah, I don't know whether we meant 20 minutes after this hour or 20 minutes after the next hour, but you're closer now to the next hour. Hey, it's me. Is this where we said we'd meet? Because I don't know where you're at. I'm in the little area with the benches. All right, I'm emailing you a photo of me, and this is me fairly angry. Hey, it's me. I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but I've certainly got places to go after this, so hopefully you can be here. Now I'm going to send you a picture of me mad, flat out mad. Actually, I just took a picture of a girl that walked by. Never mind.
Sitting on a bench at West Town Mall, he sat down in his overalls and asked me,
"You waiting on a woman?"
I nodded yeah and said, "How about you?" He said,
"Son, since 1952, I've been waiting on a woman."
When I picked her up for our first date, I told her I'd be there at 8. And she came down the stairs
at 8:30.
At 8:30. She said, "I'm sorry that I took so long. Didn't like a thing that I tried on."
Well, let me tell you, son, she sure looked pretty.
Yeah, she'll take her time,
but I don't mind waiting on a woman.
He said the wedding took a year to plan. You talk about an anxious man.
I was nervous
waiting on a woman. And then he nudged my arm like old men do and said, "I'll say this about the honeymoon.
It was worth it."
Don't guess we've been anywhere. She hasn't made us late, I swear. Sometimes she does it just cause she can do it. Boy, it's just a fact of life. It'll be the same with your young wife.
You might as well go on if you're
used to it. She'll take her time, 'cause you don't mind waiting on a woman.
All right. So I needed a real example. And I told my wife, I said, the only thing that I can relate waiting on God to is waiting on you. You're right there. She's got the mic.
That is quite a compliment. Her and God have a lot in common, what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, well, you know, God did make a woman. There's no one more complicated than a woman than God. So my first scripture here is Genesis 12, 1 through 4. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So Abram, or Abraham, later when God changes his name, was told by God to set out to a new land, which God was going to give to his descendants. Abraham was, one thing I wanted to point out, he was 75 years old. 75 years old when God told him this. So one, I got to be careful with my words here. One, he's up in his years. You know, I can just imagine, you know, just imagine if Roger had to cross the country, you know, with that. But anyways, you know, he believed God, and you know, that's the point, is he believed God, and he got his household together, got all his belongings, even got his relative Lot, and set out for the journey. I guess when I was talking to my wife, I'm like, the first thing when you're waiting on something is somebody made a promise. In this case, it's God. And he made a promise to you. And first, to even wait on it, you have to believe the promise. Right? So, Abraham had to actually believe God. And how many of us would hear God and then set out for that journey, believing in faith that it's going to happen? I mean, in this case, he had to put the words to action. I mean, if God told you to move to Hawaii,
amen,
you'd be up tomorrow, right? You'd probably leave right now, go there, get your stuff, and go.
Right?
Right?
It was God.
But God didn't even tell Abraham where he was going. He said, set out on a journey, and I'll tell you on the way. Right?
We start walking with God, we don't know where that journey is going to take us. And like you were saying, that he really didn't have specific directions at that time. But as we walk through life, we see the road behind us, not many times the road in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the hard thing about walking with God, because we're called to walk by faith. But he directs us. He directs our footsteps. You know, the Bible says the footsteps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord. So we can't understand that, but we do see his providential hand, just like Abraham, as he left what today would be Iraq, you know, where the Chaldeans lived, and went to, you know, Palestine or Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the thing, is, and that's what I like about him, because he's the example of faith. God tells us to move. It might be in a business You know, that's your journey. It might be in school. That's your journey. It might be, you know, in your business, you know, wherever you find yourself. And so God takes us on that journey. And just like he said he was going to lead him and bless others through him, we need to see that same promise that wherever we go, God's going to use us to bless people along that journey and the remainder of his life. That's why he's known as the father of faith, and I like that. But I like that he had no idea where he was going, like you said, Ed. But he trusted God wherever he went. God was there with him.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Ed about keeping God's promise and the things that he tells us. A lot of us have had prophecies, you know, through Ed Trout or, you know, God just speaking to us. And we hold on to those words that God had given us. And sometimes when he speaks to you, you don't see it at that time. Well, about 5 years ago, Ed Trout had prophesied over Ed and said that he was going to be running the company that he works for. Well, 5 years ago, if we look back, I know Ed wasn't ready to run the company. I wasn't ready for him to run the company either. If he runs the company at his job, I run the household a little bit more by myself. So it was like, well, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for the financial blessing, but I'm not ready for the work and for the hard work that he has to put in myself. But when you look at when God tells you something, he has something better planned for you along the road where it's something to hold on to. It's words of his promise, but it's something that you hold on to that he has your best interest at heart. He knows you inside and out. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knew us. He knew Ed. He knows Ed better than Ed knows himself. So through that 5 years, he trained Ed. He showed him. He built him up to where now Ed almost runs the company. So when you look back at those times where someone says, you're going to run a company, I'm not ready for that. No, you're not ready, but I'm going to build you up. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to show you how you can, where you're ready for it, where I'm still not happy that he's gone all the time, that he works the long hours that he does, but I know that God has a purpose for him in the company, and he has shared the word with so many people at work, which is amazing, and again, it's his word that I hold on to, that you're going to run the company. Well, I see it now. I see the word coming back, and Ed and I just hold on to that word that, you know, he always knows the best for us.
Yeah, that's, you know, waiting on the Lord's timing on that is, you know, I still don't, to me, I still can't run the company, but with the Lord, you know, and he has built me up and done things, taught me things, so taught me a lot of patience, actually, myself, so through different jobs in the company, different promotions, different times where I actually went, I feel down from management to sitting behind a desk, and you know, all that was training, even though at the time I thought that was the worst thing ever, and I had to sit there for 2 years and do paperwork. I was ready to anyways. All right, so the next thing, going to go to chapter 15 in Genesis. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. That's the, I took a picture of the, off of the web, that's a Milky Way galaxy. And when we're in the city, you can't see these stars because the lights drowned out, drowned out the sky. And anyways, whenever you probably go out in the country and a lot of us been out on a trip or something. You look up at night when there's no lights, and you realize how many stars there are. And that's what this scripture says, is God took Abraham and said, look up at the stars. That's going to be your descendants. From a man who has no children to the stars. But as we know, it wasn't just his offspring through natural. Later in the New Testament, we find out that it's really was also through faith from Christ. So through faith, all of us are part of that, those stars that were promised, the descendants. So, you know, and at this point, you know, like we do, Abraham was like, how are you going to even do this? How are you going to do something for me when I don't even have a child? Right? My servant is going to be the one who inherits my stuff. So he already had a promise in the previous, in the chapter 12, where we said God said he was going to bless him and make him great. And then Abraham's questioning whether God's really going to do it. And a lot of times we do the same thing. You know, we look at what God's promised us where we want to be or what things, and then we start doubting God. You know, that doubt sets in, right? I mean, that's how the enemy works, is sometimes is our own mind or it's the enemy, but a lot of times we start waiting so long that we start doubting. I remember Kenny told me once, which is a good, I thought it was funny. He told me the story. What really happened is him and his wife went up to Wendy's, and they were at Wendy's drive-thru, and the guy says, pull up, we'll bring this out in a minute. So they're sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting, and then his wife says, I can't wait any longer. Was that what she said? I can't wait any longer. I'm going to go in there. And Kenny's like, close the door. You're not going anywhere. Now that you waited so long, now you need to be patient. When our waiting wears out is when the patience kicks in, right? Because waiting, being just waiting, isn't patience. And a lot of times we think, well, I've waited long enough, and now I want it. Well, now you need to be patient. Kenny?
No, but when you think about that, you know, we do end up exercising some patience in the sense of waiting, but patience is so much more than that, you know. And what we do is a lot of times we compare that to, well, you didn't have to wait as long, and you didn't have to wait as long. And we start looking at other people and other scenarios. Why can't I have that now? Where we're all individuals, and it's all in God's timing. And we got to be satisfied, just like with Abraham. He had to be satisfied with God's plan. Was Abraham satisfied with God's plan?
No.
No, he waited a little bit, but he wasn't patient, was he? Which caused a whole other set of issues. Right? If you read the story, it caused a whole another set of issues with Ishmael. He got tired of waiting, didn't exercise patience, and decided not to do it God's way and wait on God, but implemented his own plan. And that's a lot of times what we do, is we want to implement our own plan. We don't want to confer with God. We don't want to confer with the pastor. We want to just, okay, God said it, so this is how it's going to work now. And we start taking our own steps, not truly being led by him and allowing his grace to get us there. Because it is a challenging thing to allow his grace to move us in that direction. Because it may feel uncomfortable, it may be painful, but you have to allow God to do the work so that when you get there, as it says, your character lines up with the promise. And it's more about the character than the blessing.
Right. Which is the scripture we were going to. Chapter 16. This is about, once you get to the end of this chapter, it says Abraham was about 86 years old. So He was 75 when he set out, and he was probably about 85 when the scripture, so that's 10 years of waiting, just so we all know, you know, so 10 years of waiting is a long time. It says, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. I'll stop there for a minute. Now, I was thinking about this because I know what you guys are laughing at back there. Of course he's going to agree, right? That's what you're saying. But I was actually thinking about what the promise was, and God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you a child who's your flesh and blood. So his wife probably reasoned, 10 years, you know, I'm 70-some years old, I'm not going to have any children, and I know the Lord made this promise to you, and he said it's going to be your flesh and blood, but he never said anything about it being my flesh and blood, right? This is my own opinion, so don't take this for the gospel, but based on the evidence, I'm just thinking that's probably what their reasoning is. So his wife says, you know, it's your flesh and blood, not mine, but maybe through my servant, this will all take place. And this is where Kenny was saying, this is when you start trying to make it happen yourself, you know. And there's many times that we do that, whether it's a prophecy or it's God speaking to you or something that you thought on your own, you know, you start trying to make it happen. I've known there's probably been many people who have left after they gotten a prophecy or something and made a wreck of their life because they tried to make it happen on their own. And what I guess this would be an appropriate time to read this scripture. What I see is that I'll read this scripture and then I'll say this. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now that was David writing that psalm, but for us, God being the Lord being your shepherd, and if you think of a shepherd watches over his flock and he leads them, takes them down, like it says, beside the water to drink, the still waters, not the rough waters. But the Lord, if you have a promise from the Lord, you need him to lead you and guide you down that path, not to make it happen yourself. You don't go running down the path ahead of the shepherd. The shepherd leads you and guides you down those paths. And when we run off is when we get ourselves into trouble. But if you're part of the flock, then you know the Lord's also going to use that and bring you back in the fold, right? So that was my thought on Sarai, why she did it. Was she was trying to make it happen, and she figured she was too old, so she created a. She created the Ishmael, you know, through what she thought Ishmael was created. Sammy Ishmael. All right, so it says, When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her and mistreat her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering." It's always our fault, isn't it? Right? "I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road of to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man." That's Sammy. "His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards his brothers all his days." She gave the name the Lord spoke to her. You are God who sees me," she said. "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bereb. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abram gave him the name Ishmael. To the son she had bore, Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. So 86 years old, again, my theory. Now, she probably went back to Abram, told him about this, because why would he name him Ishmael? It says Abram named him Ishmael. And then the promise of him being many descendants. I just think that at that point, Abram thought this was the promise. And then we find out later that that wasn't the promise. But, you know, I know I've done this and probably many others, is you start adding up things. Oh, this happened, so maybe that's the promise. Oh, and this kind of ties to it, and this kind of ties to it, right? And we start trying to add it up when we're trying to work on our own to make it happen instead of just being led and guided. And I could tell you from my experience at work, that's what happened to me when I stopped trying myself and I just started being led and guided. And when I was in that job, actually about 10 years ago, for 2 years, sitting there doing paperwork, and I thought to myself, this is the worst thing ever, you know. But then I kept praying about it, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and wait on you. I'm just going to wait and wait. And I did. And, I mean, at one point, towards the end of the 2 years, I just went into my boss and said, you know, can you find me a different job? You know, can you get me somewhere else? And then I had to wait, and then it happened. But I didn't go and say, okay, I'm leaving this place, and I'm going to go apply at another job that's going to offer me more money or whatever, because I felt that that was the right place for me to be, but I just didn't like where I was at, you know. And usually, you know, you can, if you're listening to the Lord and following Him, even when you don't like where you're at, then you can sense His presence to know that that's where you're supposed to be. And then if you're not sure, you need to go and get some counsel, right? You don't want to make big decisions without not just the counsel that you want either, you know? Because we all do that too. Like, you know, my wife will want me to agree with her all the time. Like, I don't agree. Right? On to the next thing, which was Genesis 17:15. through 22. It says, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to me, to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful, and he will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you. By this time next year, when he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. So, this is probably about, he says he was 100. So you can see he had him, Ishmael, when he was 86. So, Ishmael's older, and now the promise for Isaac's coming. And if you read on the story, now Isaac is born, and now they got a problem because they got Ishmael. Right? So what I was thinking is, when we make something happen on our own, we end up having to still deal with a problem. You still might end up with the promise that God gave you, but now you got the promise plus the problem. And Abraham had to, I'm sure Abraham was concerned because he thought all along Ishmael was the promise. So he probably was raising him, teaching him, telling him about the promises, telling him about all the things God promised, and now he's got to tell him, sorry, son, you're not the promise. Right? And that's why he said, if only Ishmael can live under your blessing. It's not that he wanted to throw out Ishmael. It was, later when God says, no, you need to send him off. Do what Sarah says, send him off, because the promise is through Isaac. But God still said he would bless him and make him into many nations.
I don't want to say question God, but saying, okay, he had this turn, he raised this as his son for, 10, 12 years?
Yeah.
And God, turn him loose, just sent him off to the desert. Now, that had to have been hard. I mean, I wonder if, the saying in the Bible is, did he ask God why? Couldn't question God, but just saying, it has to be hard on a decision like that to raise somebody for 12 years and just push him off.
Right. Well, I mean, if you see, go ahead, Brett.
I don't think Sarah thought this plan through very good.
No, she didn't.
I mean,
no, it was Abraham, not Sarah. Remember?
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's his fault.
But I mean, if she thought that she was going to raise another woman's child with the woman still being there, I think that was just a far-fetched plan. I don't think she thought it through very well.
Many times we don't, when we're running through all the different thoughts in our head, we don't think them through to the logical conclusion. We more think with our emotions and want the things that we want to happen, and we don't really lay out the consequences of our plans. We just think, well, it's just going to work out. I mean, you tell people, it's not going to work out. This is what's going to happen. And they're like, no, that ain't going to happen to me. Because my plans are this, this, and this, right? So I'm sure it was hard for him to let him go, but he had to do it. And God promised that he would bless him. So I'm sure in the back of his mind, he said, okay, I'll send him out. because I know that God also promised me that he will be blessed.
Thank you. Same thing is happening now, Sarge. If you're not part of the covenant, he has to let you go. He doesn't like to do that, but it's something that has to be done. You have the choice. He had the choice. The covenant now is with Christ. If we're not part of that covenant, what happens? He has to let you go. It's your choice, but he has to let you go. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it does hurt him.
So I was thinking, you know, when we receive a promise, and there's many promises in Scripture that for believers, right?
Yep.
One of the promises is in Romans 8:28. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Do we believe that? You know, that all things, even the trials we go through, are going to work? Like Kenny said, God's more concerned with your character than where you're, you know, what things you're going to get blessed with. And I'll end on this. I'm trying to make sure I say this right. When you have a promise and you have an Ishmael, you have to lay down the Ishmael to get your Isaac. And when you have your Isaac, is your Ishmael becoming your Isaac? That's what I was thinking. Is your Ishmael becoming your Isaac? So did you make your own promise? Did you make it happen on your own? And then when God gave you the promise and you have an Ishmael, we'll find out later that he has to lay that down too. So is your Ishmael in the way of your God? So when you get your promise, do you put that above God? And that's where Abraham was tested. Now that he got what God promised him, God asked him to lay it down. And I think it was a funny story, but Mia, when she was younger, she had a blanket and a dog. It was like a little stuffed animal, and she slept with that every night. She would take the blanket and rub it on her face. And she was getting a little older. I think it was like 7 years old, and she still had it. So I went to her, and I said, "Mia, do you want to... are you ready to give up your blanket and your dog?" And she was in her bed, and she had it with her, and she's, no, you know. I'm like, "Well, I need it. Are you going to give it to me? Because do you like your dog more than, do you want the blanket and the dog, or do you want your dad?" And then she gave it to me, you know. And then I gave it back to her, but. It was the same concept, right? God gave Ishmael back after he was willing to lay him down. And she did end up giving it up, I think, that same year. But
yeah, I was thinking of Kenny when you were talking about giving up something, you know, and we were talking about children. And, you know, today's the day when one of his sons is going to be married. And it hits you, you know, when you're standing there watching it. I know Kim and everybody's, you know, kids have gone married. There's a whole new change, you know. It's almost like they're being sent away. Mm-hmm. Because you get back to that house, it's not the same. You don't hear that voice. You don't hear the pitter-patter of feet. You sit there and you wonder, you remember the things they did and coming in when, you know, all those different things go through your head. And I think of Abraham, you know, how hard it was to send Ishmael away. Because really, that was his son. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just by another wife. And so that was his firstborn. I'm sure, you know, hey, didn't matter. He was proud of that kid. He loved that kid. He wanted to bless him. He thought that was the fulfillment of the promise. But then when God came on the scene, you know, and you see, man, how hard it would be as a parent, you know, to send that child that you love, that you poured everything into, away, because that wasn't really what God was going to bring about. So, yeah, there's so many times, and I'm sure we could go around this room here, where we thought we've attained the promise, we tried to make it happen, and then the whole thing is just swept away, and it's like, okay, now what are you going to do, whether it's in your job or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm.
But God knows what he's doing. He's faithful. And then when you actually receive the promise, just like Abraham later on when Isaac was born, you know, knowing this was brought about by a miracle of God. It wasn't by an act of the human flesh, but it was by God bringing it about. There's no other explanation because both him, you know, it says in the scripture that both him and his wife were dead as far as their bodies. They couldn't conceive anything, you know. With Hagar, you can think, okay, well, she was a younger lady and, you know, was still within those ages to produce children, but not true with Sarah. Mm-hmm. So God will always take those times, and when you're at the end of your rope, so to speak, that's when he comes in. I was thinking Sammy, too, right before you got married, how, you know, you want to get a house, you want to get this, you want to do that, and you had to really come to the end where, God, I just give up. And it was there in that place that you saw God begin to move, that you don't rely upon your own strength or intellect or your abilities. And then when God brings it, you just know, beyond any doubt, you know that you know that you know that you know that it was brought by the hand of God. Right?
Mm-hmm. As you're waiting, and like Pastor Don was saying about Shane, one of the things I keep reminding my wife in the midst of him leaving and going into this next season, that in God's plan, I've seen it all along as him being sent out into another family. And then in the midst of that, Cassie's been coming to the church for over 4 years. Her sister's been coming. Her little sister's been over to the house. And slowly God is moving upon this family and bringing the life of Christ into this family. That there's a blessing that you look to in the future of a whole other family, a whole other heritage, with all the relatives coming in today with Pastor Don and making them feel welcome and at home and just having that life ministered to them, that we've been praying not only for her since she was a little girl. We didn't even know her. There was a song that Wayne Watson had sung, and we've been praying for her and then praying for her family ever since Shane had turned around and said that he was committed to this. And that's what it's important, is that it's beyond our plans. It's beyond our understanding. It's beyond what we see right in front of us. And it goes far beyond that to the promises of God and him expanding his kingdom because of the love that he has for all people and wanting to see them blessed. So today is a special occasion, not just for the two of them, but it's a special occasion in the kingdom because it goes far beyond the two of them. They are just the beginning of something that God's doing in the midst of both families. And we're yet to see the fruit of all of that that's going to happen. And I'm excited about that.
Thank you, Lord, for the day, our teachings. Let us remember and take it to heart. Thank you for our teachers taking the time and effort in his busy schedule. Watch over our church and the upcoming wedding. Two hearts have become one. Looking forward to it and proud. So I'm sure Kenny's proud and so my host church is proud. Watch over Pastor Don and his upcoming trip. Watch over our church and all the ones we love. God bless. Amen.